Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that hereafter we should not serve sin. Romans 6:4-6. In our conversation today, Janie and I discuss the privileges we have in a relationship with God and the most important responsibility we have to know him.
As a Christian, Janie, it is our responsibility to practice discernment in our daily lives.
That's true, and I like that word responsibility, but with that, I want to add another one. It's also our privilege. It is a grace that has been given to us with the ability to be able to discern and to practice what we preach.
Well, I tell you what, here probably about 16 years ago, I found this verse of scripture in Romans 12, it's verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now that became a life verse for me.
With good reason.
There was a lot of things about God's word that I didn't understand at being a new Christian. And I really just did not grasp the idea of my responsibilities.
Okay.
When we say that we live in an age of grace, I had this idea that everything was on God. And the responsibility that I had toward God and toward others, I didn't really grasp that. And so that's why this verse of scripture became so important to me, because it just was like a big old light bulb, a huge old light bulb came on and said, oh, hello, Sharon, there are responsibilities that you have in this relationship. It's like going into a relationship with your husband and thinking that he's responsible to make me happy, and I have no responsibilities to him to make him happy. And so we have responsibilities and relationships to the other person we're in a relationship with. And this was the big light bulb that came on for me. So,
well, you have said a mouthful, and then I'm going to throw a hook in the thing to tell you what the world might say. Oh, well, I understand what you're saying, Sharon. That is, God helps those who help themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, in other words, God's got his responsibilities and you've got yours, uh-huh. And maybe the two will meet, maybe they won't, see? So already, can you see the subtle hook that the enemy would use by using the scriptures?
Right.
Well, and I think we can very easily shoot him down. We'll get our own little, what are they, Android, no, what is it that goes through the air and shoots?
Oh, a drone.
A drone, thank you. And shoot him down on that. And the fact is that the Lord says that without him, it's impossible to do anything.
Right.
So if I'm going to keep my responsibilities, which I believe you've got solid foundation in saying that, it can only be as I do what he says are my responsibilities. And so my responsibilities, let's go back to my favorite chapter in the Bible, Romans 6.
Okay.
And right there, he says, my responsibility is to know him.
Okay.
That's in the verses 1 through like 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
And then over, and I believe, and you're catching me here off guard, I believe it's around verse 11. It tells me that after I understand with knowledge, I am then to reckon on that knowledge. And that knowledge means to agree with, to come into conformity to, and to practice. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of verses down, I think around 13, it tells me that I'm then to yield to what I know and what I have reckoned, and then I'm to yield in practical obedience. And that way I'm on very, and you are on very solid ground with our portion of our responsibilities.
Okay.
But if I think I'm going to go in.
So basically, these two verses are a description of Romans 6, 1 through 13 or so.
Just kind of works all together, doesn't it? Kind of like
it does.
Puzzles just fitting together.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so if we've got that point established, that yes, we each have responsibilities, but ours are submitted to the Father's, so that we will be doing what he has told us are the legitimate responsibilities. Now, the next point in your favorite little passage that changed your life is, notice that it says that it's by his mercies that we are able to do this. But what are you able to do? You present your body. Oh, my body. Well, I thought you'd want me to submit my spirit. Or, well, the body is the place where the battle takes place. Okay? And so we've talked about this maybe, I don't know, a year ago or so, Sharon, but we'll bring it back up today. And that is, where are the attributes in my body vulnerable? And where do they need to be submitted? Oh, well, let's flip over real quick to Hebrews 5:14. And it tells us that we, if we're going to grow and be mature, we must have our senses exercised. What we see, what we hear, what we touch, what we feel, what we smell. The Lord tells us to be a sweet fragrance, to offer sacrifices that are like a fragrance going up. So then, to complete where we're going today, the body is the first thing that we have to yield.
Okay.
And the, where our body, we've got spiritual senses and we have got earthly senses. And that's the five senses that we know about from life. Okay, so then as I yield to him, am I willing to guard what my eyes see? You know, I don't watch TV anymore. I can't find anything except maybe the weather, and that can even be depressing. at times. But I was scanning or perusing the channels. Sharon, out of 100 channels, there was probably at least 80 that had to do with violence, wickedness, death, crime, spirits. I just could not believe how polluted. And I think about young people, that's all they're exposed to, okay?
They become callous to it.
And they become, they become hardened and callous to sin, which if you want to read up on that a little bit, stay in Hebrews 3 and 4, because that's an excellent place for someone to go if they want to see what will happen if they do not listen with their ears to hear. Their heart will automatically become hardened and they will lose their sensitivity and they won't be able to submit their body, even though the mercies of God has made that available to them.
Right.
Because when you do that, then it tells us that you will present your body as a living sacrifice. Oh, that means I can't have what I want because that would not be living sacrifice. So I don't indulge myself. But we don't go for the purpose of just what makes us feel good.
Right.
But we are in a society and an advertising media that says there's no sense in living if you're not feeling good.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. So we have to understand that we're going to be making some sacrifices in discipline if we're going to be able to really fulfill the responsibilities that God has asked us to.
Yeah.
But he says, if we do, he said, this is a reasonable service. This is not something that I'm asking that's really extreme of you. This is a reasonable service is how I want you to live here if you are my child. Now, if you're not his child, all of this is going to be foolishness. mm-hmm. as it says in Galatians. And if you want to know what the foolishness looks like from the world's view, go to the book of Galatians and read through that. It will have many scriptures to show you. And then verse 2, because you said that was part of your transforming mm-hmm. verse, it says, and do not be conformed to this world. Well, we've just got to telling you what we do. We want to look alike. We want the same hairstyles, the same clothes. Mm-hmm. But be you transformed. That's the word that is used for a caterpillar going through the metamorphosis to come to a beautiful butterfly.
Right.
All right. If you try to get that caterpillar after it has made its cocoon, if you try to help it out too early, it'll die. So there is a transforming process that we have to go through. Sharon, it's called life.
Right.
It's called struggles. It's called battles. It's called trials. It's also called incredible, sometimes miracles, sometimes great encouragements. Sometimes it's like being on a mountain and we have to come back down into the valley. And being in the valley is not all bad, because being in the valley, and I'm using metaphors here, but being in the valley is also can be like being in the wilderness. And what happened after Jesus Christ started his ministry? He was led by the Spirit
into the wilderness.
Yeah. Because there were some things that he needed to be able to prove and to be able to qualify him in the ministry that he was going to have for the next 3 years.
Well, you know, having cancer and not being able to do anything for a period of time, you know, you do feel like you're in the valley or in a wilderness. And I tell you, it's some of the sweetest moments of my Christian walk was in the valley and in the wilderness. So there is great value in being in the wilderness.
And Sharon, those last two sentences is a witness to anyone that has just heard what you said, because you say it didn't have to end that way. You could have ended with bitterness. And for you to say that you could actually find sweetness in not cancer itself, mm-hmm. but in what you allowed by waiting on your God to produce in you. And so that said, the cancer had an eternal purpose. That is a witness unto the sovereignty and the tender mercies that you have in chapter verse 1
right.
of Romans. His tender mercies sustained you. But, you know, we need to give our listeners some verses on just the consequences as well as the exhortations about using discernment. And I find that Proverbs has so many verses that are good exhortations. And let's just start off with Proverbs 1:5, Sharon, where it says that a wise man now will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding, and that can certainly mean woman, shall attain unto wise counsel. So now you have to have discernment and be able to discriminate to even hear what's being said to you. But it says one that is seeking wisdom, a wise person, will be willing to hear and then learn. And then you go two more verses.
You have to have discernment to find a wise person too.
And you can find that wise person by listening to what they're saying, mm-hmm. engaging them in conversation. Then it tells us, though, if you want to be sure that you've got a wise person, verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Well, what did Romans 6 tell us? The first thing you want to do is to get knowledge. Then you want to reckon on that knowledge, and then you mm-hmm. want to yield. Do you see how a tapestry is just woven in the scriptures, just
yes.
moving from one to another, taking one thread and weaving it into another, and how it all then makes into a beautiful picture if you just take little piece by piece? And then I'm just going to skip down to verse 5 in chapter 3. And do you have that scripture, Proverbs 3:5?
It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding.
So what's the key word right there?
Trust.
Trust. Then have you got 6? 3, 6?
In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
Wow. So you don't have to take a lot of detours. What do you need to do?
Acknowledge him in everything.
In all your ways. And it doesn't matter how small it is to how great it is. You go back to him and say, Lord, for this moment, what is your mindset on how I am to respond rather than react? And sometimes, Sharon, we do react if there's a real painful word said to us, if there's a real painful circumstance. But and I'll give you a perfect example. You are going through an intersection and you still have the green light, but it turns yellow and you're already in that intersection and somebody doesn't acknowledge that and they start in and they almost collide with you. Now, you're not probably going to just start singing, I have the joy, joy, joy down in my heart, are you?
No.
You're probably going to react, and you may react with
a scream.
With a scream, or you may not even have the best of words instantly. But what do you do? Do you take that reaction and turn it into a response? So rather than cursing the person that almost took you out, you adjust immediately, say, thank you, Father, that could have been tragic, but we were able to avert it. So even if you do choose to react in a moment of extremity, then how fast can you bring it into the correct response?
Okay.
Okay. But you know what? There are times that in verse 7, it gives us a real bit of wisdom. Since you're in Proverbs 3, go ahead and read verse 7.
Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil.
Now there's your three-pointer. Don't start to trust in your own conceit, in your own pride, in your own wisdom, in your own opinions, logic, reason. Mm-hmm. But fear the Lord. In fact, if you fear the Lord, all the other fears will come into alignment.
Right.
All right. And then make the wise choice to depart from evil. Now, that verse could just be said every day, and you would have a pretty solid game plan.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
But that's in the Old Testament, so we can go over to, let's see where we might want to go. In the New Testament, in 1 Timothy 5:20, it says, them that resin rebuke before all, that others may fear. Now, that's not a license to just go out and start shaking your finger at everybody that you don't think is following the scriptural advice.
Mm-hmm.
But it does tell you, and he's talking to Timothy right now, who is really going to be, is in training to be a pastor, that those that stay in a continual lifestyle of sin, of not recognizing that their old nature has been dealt with so that they can walk according to wisdom, according to the Lord's mindset, then there has to be a rebuke. That calls for discernment. That calls for a decision that has to be made. So there is an exhortation that we have that in our daily walk, we have to be looking at those around us and then living accordingly. And then in 2 Timothy, he's telling Timothy, well, preach the word. Well, you and I need to be willing to have a ready answer for any man that would ask. We need to have an answer to give them. And it says, be instant in season. Always be ready. And out of season, even when maybe it not be seems to be the appropriate time. And then it tells us, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. And that exhort can also mean to encourage. But look what it says. With all long suffering. And that long suffering also has to do with patience. And patience has more to do with dealing with people than it does with circumstances in the Greek word. And then it says, and then with doctrine. Don't use earthly wisdom. And make sure if you're using something you heard from some preacher or some counselor, that it is from the purity of the word. That's the only thing we can really trust. Now, I will say one thing. the worldly wisdom is great at diagnosing where you're wrong. Okay. Even earthly psychology, you've got an anxiety complex, you've got an addiction complex. Okay. And they can pretty well see where you're missing the mark. It's just that earthly wisdom doesn't have any lasting solutions.
And so they can tell you what the problem is. They just have no idea what the solution is.
Because the solution is a spiritual issue, and they're trying to fix things with worldly wisdom.
When we have earthly wisdom that takes care of all of the physical and some emotional issues, but they don't deal with the spiritual aspect of the body, and so therefore it's neglected and not put into alignment and care in the way that they try to put the physical and the emotional in line, and they can never come in line until that spiritual aspect is in line.
Exactly. And then, you know, there is a time when you don't try to entreat anybody. Back in Proverbs 23:9, it says, "Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words." Then Proverbs 25:28 says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." Now, somebody who has an angry, they just constantly respond with anger with backbiting or with a critical spirit, okay, it doesn't pay a lot of good to try to help them in that particular point. A city with no walls is a city that is vulnerable.
Okay.
It is going to be susceptible to attack and being overran.
Absolutely.
All right. So to try to give them healthy counsel or even godly encouragement is probably not going to be the first tool.
So what do we do, Janie?
Well, the Bible has a solution. And that is, if God has given you an insight into a difficult person, let's just say a difficult person, and they're not open, the Lord has given you your first step, and that's prayer.
Okay.
Because the Lord knows what will get through. He will know what will start to break down. And so we go to the Lord in prayer. And then, rather than just telling the Lord everything that's wrong with this person, we go and say, "Lord, this person that you died for, that you love more than what I can ever love, you have a solution. And I'm going to be quiet and wait on you, that you can show me, as I search the scriptures, what is your mind on how I'm to work with this person."
Right.
And there have been times, testimony from greats that have gone before us, where they might have spent years waiting in prayer before they ever had the opportunity to speak. But usually, because of the smoothness of the Lord will arrange in His timing, when that heart is ready, to have that person encounter you without you having to go tear down their walls.
Right.
All right. Right. But it's got to begin in prayer.
Absolutely. Everything begins in prayer.
We do need to say that a person who has, a man who has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word. So knowing when to speak and when to just give love, with maybe not a word being spoken, only eternity will let you know how much that could be a mover and moving the person towards a change and a reckoning and being able to appropriate your Romans 12:1 that brought life to your life.
So our discernment is a daily thing. It's part of our Christian walk, and it requires much prayer always to go before we make decisions, investigate. As we're growing through those things, as we're discerning that we're allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us,
that we will trust the Lord with all of our heart and make knowing Him a top priority.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzlaff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHearts.org. That's SharonHearts.org.